Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
The sermon for today, the 21st Sunday after Trinity, Persistent Faith, by the Reverend Canon Wallace E. Shields, of the Diocese of the Mid-Atlantic States. A certain nobleman went in unto Jesus and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. We see in the nobleman an example of persistent faith. He may have been an official of the court of Herod Antipas, a son of Herod the Great and ruler of Galilee. He had heard of Christ and believed enough in his mercy and his power that he made the 20-mile trip from Capernaum to ask him to heal his son, who was fatally ill. We can imagine the skepticism which many of those in the court of Herod must have had toward this man as he set out to find Christ and ask for the healing of his son. If so, their skepticism seemed to be justified by Christ's first reply, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The Lord's words may have been directed as much to his fellow Galileans as to the official. At any rate, the man had too much faith and too much concern for his son to be put off, so he repeats his request urgently. Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus' second reply was an answer to the man's prayer, but not in the way he had asked. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Christ would not go to Capernaum with this official, but he would heal his son. So the man believed, and he went his way. And found out the next day as he was on his way home that his faith, persistent faith, had been rewarded. The Old Testament lesson for today tells the story of Naaman, commanding general of the armies of Syria, but a leper, who almost failed to receive what he asked for because his prayer was not answered the way he wanted it to be. In a story full of irony and humor, Naaman, the great general, learned from a little Israelite slave girl about the healing power of the prophet in Samaria. After an uproar at the court of the king of Israel, provoked by the letter from the king of Syria, Naaman finally got to where Elisha the prophet lived. Elisha was not impressed by worldly rank, so he sent his servant out to greet Naaman with a message, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. The great commander was offended. He had thought that the prophet himself come out to greet him and heal him with the appropriate ceremony. Instead, he had sent out his servant, and besides, why couldn't he bathe in the waters of Damascus, which were far superior to anything that Israel could offer? He left in a rage. His servants were wiser than he and persuaded him to do what the prophet had commanded. So he bathed in the Jordan and was made clean, his prayer answered and faith rewarded. though not in the way he had expected it. He returned humbly to the prophet to thank him. The patriarch Abraham trusted God's word in spite of all evidence to the contrary. God had assured him that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of heaven, and that all the people of the earth would be blessed through him. But for a long time, he and his wife Sarah continued childless. And Abraham said to God on an occasion when the promise was being renewed that he had no offspring, and that a slave, a man who was a steward of all his possessions, would be his heir. But he was assured again, "Your own son shall be your heir." And he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. He persisted in his faith. In his famous chapter on faith, the writer of Hebrews says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. God is as good as his word." On one occasion, on the Sea of Galilee, St. Peter and his partners in the fishing business had worked all night without catching anything. The next morning, after sitting on Peter's boat near the shore and teaching people standing on the beach, Christ said to him, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down." Peter replied, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." He and the others in the boat with him enclosed a great catch of fish as a result of their obedience based on their faith. A persistent faith underlies persistence in prayer and in doing God's work. Abraham didn't know exactly where God would lead him. By faith, Abraham obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he was to go, says Hebrews. As Abraham wondered if he would have any children, sometimes we wonder in the Anglican Catholic Church if we will have any spiritual descendants. But we must be like Abraham, who continued to trust in God in spite of appearances to the contrary. In the epistle for this day from the 6th chapter of Ephesians, faith seems to be the most important part of the spiritual armor of Christians, which Paul outlines vividly in an extended metaphor. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In his conclusion, he stresses the importance of not giving up, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Persistence in faith brings stronger faith, as we see in the experience of the nobleman described in today's New Testament lesson. He acted first on what he heard from others about Christ. Then he trusted and obeyed what Christ said directly to him, and then went on to an even deeper level of belief when he learned of his son's recovery. Faith that does not give up helps us to develop fortitude, the quality which, as someone has said, resists and endures, even triumphs over the trials and temptations of life. And it helps us to develop moral courage, without which the other virtues would fail. We should persist in all faith as the nobleman did, because God always responds to faith in a positive way, although not always in the way we expect. And we should persist in our faith because of the joy of knowing God. We don't value each other simply because of what we can do for one another. A loving elderly member of a family can sometimes do nothing for other members of that family, but he or she will nevertheless be sorely missed when death comes. The writer of Psalm 73 said, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire in comparison of thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Through faith, we receive God's blessing. But most of all, as noblemen came to know Christ, it is the way by which we too come to know him, our Lord and our Savior. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly do all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.